Verse once again, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and whom
Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:3.
So I think we will just go on down the line. I just had this inspiration. This is one opportunity I might get to at least hear all of you at one time. This seems to be a primary question, and perhaps the others kind of hinged on number one. So I had this idea, we'll just go down the line. I'd like to hear all of you. And, of course, some of you have already spoken about a growth or how you continue to learn to trust God, and that's okay. So it seems like there's a primary question there, number one. I'm just going to go on down the line. Let's have Aaron tell us what you wrote down for number one there.
I had to take a little bit, but I remember having a conversation with my sister or one of my siblings, and we were discussing how God could do anything, and we were talking about this. God could pick up our house. That's one conversation I remember, probably. We were marveling at that. That was probably one of the primary things that stood out was God's power. I also, I'm not sure, I try to reflect on what did I believe about God as in relation to myself. I think I would say I believe God was focused mostly on what I did or didn't do. And that was his basis for eventually, finally sending me to heaven or hell, what I did or didn't do. And I also remember, or I would say I believe that God thought much like I did. His worldview, the way he thought of life, of myself, was much the way I thought of life. That's pretty much all I remember.
Mm-hmm. Here's, again, what someone else wrote. When in fourth grade, I worked a Bible course which taught the relationship. There was a question, are you saved? So I put down, I hope. This was not myself, this was someone else saying this. I was taught the concept that you can't really know, but we needed to do all the right things. And so when I did that course in fourth grade, I think I was mostly gathering knowledge, not understanding what a personal relationship with God is. Yes, I wanted to do what was right, and I thought I was doing the right things and being good, and not understanding that Jesus is my righteousness. So it seemed the adults never really talked about it, aside from in the sermons. I thought it was private and personal. You don't talk about it. Bible characters weren't really like we are. And biblical faith, you know, it's a hard assurance, but it seemed unreal. Bible characters weren't real. So I'm thinking, if there are such thoughts or, you know, negatives, let's be thankful that we did at least learn about God. Incomplete as it was in some cases, we just heard a couple speakers here in church one night, not in church, not in that Sunday, but there were speakers here talking about their childhood. And they landed in prison and came back out victorious in getting to know God and getting to know Jesus and helping others. And if you listen to somebody that had no home life at all, somebody that did not know how, somebody that never knew or never experienced, had no clue what parents or a home looks like. That was very sobering, enlightening, and revealing to us. We have much to be thankful for. Okay, next.
I'd say I would have had a picture of a loving father, but stern God, or a God that would punish sin. I had a fear of God, but that fear of God didn't translate into my life because my conscience was hardened. Like, it, I was afraid of the consequences of sin, but I kept on sinning.
It was not the kind of fear that brought wisdom or come to God.
Until later.
Okay.
For me, I looked at God as a, you know, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. But that actually made him a little bit scary, because if he knows everything about me, he sees everything I do, you know, there's no way to get away from him. And that made it hard for me to accept that he actually cares about me. And he's actually, I didn't, I, would say, I knew that he loved me, but I didn't really believe it, you could say.
Okay. That's as far back as you can remember, right? It would be nice if we could have a memory of what you call a photostatic memory. You know, just, okay, this year I didn't know him. Well, 2 years later, this date, I did get to know him. Can't exactly do that, because just like your physical body is growing and you grow in understanding and wisdom, even believers, Paul exhorted the churches, you know, grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're just blessed if you can. So the question is, maybe, I think it's, it gets you to think. That's what we're here for, I guess. What do you say, Michael?
I don't really remember what age I was when I first became aware of God, but I always thought of him as primarily as a righteous or holy God. I knew he's also loving, but I think what happened is I focused on that, on his holiness or his anger, just in case, because I figured that would keep me from sinning. But I learned it doesn't work that way. And I think what was the turning point, or what helped me to realize that I don't think I understood how his love is and his righteousness work together. I think what helped me to realize that is he doesn't punish us just out of a reflex. He punishes people only because of he's done everything for them and they just spit in his face. He doesn't just punish them because he wants to.
Yeah. You know, I think I had quite a time. I don't think I trusted God really either. We can talk about his love. I knew he was a God of love. And yet, I didn't rest in that love for a while. I had to learn to rest in that love. And so it is with all of us. And even now, let's not become discouraged. Let's take heart. We can rest. Jesus actually promised more. When he came, he had that gracious invitation, come to me, I will give you rest. And it says, take my yoke upon you. There is something to take upon ourselves. But twice he said, there's rest. Rest for your souls. So, yeah. You mentioned you didn't understand his love. I'm going to come across this, and I just don't see it right now, but when we talk about God's love versus his anger, if you come into really deep discussions and try to help people, and they have a hard time differentiating between God's love, like you say, God, a righteous, holy God, and still a God of love. So can I use counselor's terms, Homer? Because this is what I learned. What is the opposite of love?
Hate.
We said that what?
Hate.
Okay, well, what do you say, Aaron?
Indifference.
Well, I hold to Aaron's viewpoint. Strange as it may seem, people are sensitive sometimes, especially if you have a sensitive person's oversensitive conscience, and that anger is there. Anger itself, we tell them, is not wrong. It's not a sin. Anger itself is, according to one writer, it's the other side of love. So anger and love. And I had to think a while, but you think about it, but I think actually it's biblical. The opposite of love would be apathy. And that's exactly what Aaron was saying. That's what apathy means. It's indifference. No feeling. I can't feel nothing. I just dull my mind. Deliberately even, I dull my mind. I don't think. I try not to think, and it's indifference. So if you experience anger, so in a sense, we can understand that God is, later in this book, there is a It's a chapter on holiness. Maybe that's Abe's. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think it is. However, God is holy. That's why he has the full right to claim us, and he can never tolerate sin. He hates sin. So hate there in that respect, or anger at sin, or anger at wrong, is not the same as love, but it's the other side of the coin. So so those strong emotions, love is a strong emotion, and so is anger. And anger in a Christian's life, you know, has to be harnessed and kept in check. The Bible does say it doesn't do anything good, but without anger, nothing can be accomplished either. It's that strong motivating force. It's the other side of love. God wants to sanctify that or use you. And I think we can't do like Christ himself did. He was, as the Son of God, he went into the temple and cleansed the temple, and he showed a righteous, holy anger. That's something for you to think about. I don't think I'll go deeper into that discussion. However, in really helping people understand and relieving their false guilt when they think, I can't be angry ever anymore because that's wrong. Well, anger is the opposite of love. As you become angry, God fills you, and he can take care of that anger and shed his love in your hearts. But more accurately, I'm thinking, if somebody asks you, the opposite of love is apathy, just indifferent, no feeling, whatever. Anybody, any comments? You may disagree if you want to, but I don't think it's understood correctly. Yes, anger is the opposite of love. But how can you reconcile the fact that God pronounced harsh judgment and curses upon those who are disobedient? We talked about God's faithfulness last Sunday. God being a faithful and loving God, he will always keep his word, but he will never tolerate sin. At the same time that he, in his holiness, condemns the sinner, he turns around and holds out his hand.
Could you clarify, you made a statement, something about nothing happens. Without anger, nothing happens, or nothing gets done, or I'm not sure on the exact wording.
Well,
I'm not
and
sure, were you speaking of God or of us? Or
I'm thinking about getting good accomplished in community or in your friends and family without that, you might call it anger, but it's not like hate. Unless you can experience and utilize or realize that anger is actually from God, what would you do if there's a fire down the road and you and somebody's house is burning, and your adrenaline kicks in and everything is in a rush? The neighbor's house is burning. You're motivated, some strong motivating force. That's similar to what anger is actually, and you do something, or you could say, "Yeah, I know it's burning, but it will take care of itself. I mean, it's like not my business." And so I'm saying accomplishing things for God, we always try to connect anger with lashing out or hurting. In counselor's terms, anger is simply that strong emotion that enables you to do something. Say, "God, help me." It's a strong emotion. You do it. You get things accomplished.
I wouldn't tend to think of that as love. Instead of anger, like giving bread to the poor, I would do that lovingly, not angrily.
Right. But that's why love, anger is the opposite side of the same coin as love. So figure that out. It's the same coin. It's not opposite.
You could refer to that anger as passion or zeal as well.
Okay, good. Good idea. I'll take that. It's a passion. It's a zeal. Okay.
Be angry at sin. Here's what you got about. Anger is an emotion. And you got about 10 seconds to decide to not sin. Sometimes you anger come and we think we already sinned. God has a righteous anger. I'm not sure if people are righteous enough to have an anger.
I don't either.
I've heard those excuses made, but no one's a righteous anger.
Well, maybe he meant a zeal or a passion, like Michael said.
The outcome of it wasn't.
Okay, yeah. So I hope you understand, and I take Michael's words as a good summary here. We call it a zeal or a passion. But with some risk at going down some bunny trails and things, we're not having a session on anger here. So let's go down, let's keep going on the question. Coming over here, Kayleen, what do you have to say on that number one? Did you write something? Okay. And Judith?
I would say the first impression is probably going to God for our needs in prayer.
For our needs, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was probably my first impression.
And that's not bad at all for a child, but the sad part is, in fact, it's good. God supplies our needs, but some Christians are like that, where they only go to God for their needs, and then when they're in trouble, they go to God and pray to him. But when they're done, they put him back in the box again or something like that. That's not criticizing your answer. It's a good answer for a child, you know, because he does supply our needs. Something to pray to. And he's good. God is good. What do you?
I always think that God needs to be God and that he can do anything. And I remember, usually with mom or dad, that he would say that he can move mountains. Wonder how if you could just command something, it would happen. Like, it was more like I knew God could do anything, and it was more like I stood in awe of his wonder, his majesty, the power that he had to just, command something like the creation and, you know, just bringing something into existence just by speaking it. And the thing of knowing that he could hear my prayers, me and my house, I still see all the other people at the same time, like in Africa, all over the world. It was it was just awestruck. I was just amazed at how big and how mighty he is.
A feeling of awe and wonder. You know, I can't help thinking of your answers, and I automatically, and maybe I shouldn't, but I automatically judge your home environment and your parents, and I'm just thinking, those are such healthy answers and of reflections or such a healthy concept of God is big and how he can do anything is awesome. But you're not frightened, really. But be that as it may, the journey has been different for other people. Some had to learn to trust and so forth. How about you?
I knew that God loved me, but somehow it wasn't real to me. I always tried to do what was right, but when I did something wrong, I was always afraid that, you know, God would punish me.
It's more like that. A mixture, huh? Okay. Marietta?
I always knew that God was real and he could do anything. And I knew he loved and cared for me. But, maybe sometimes when I did something wrong, I knew it didn't please him, and so I tried to do what was right. I always thought his God as being strong, big, and he probably wouldn't be able to take notice of me. I still remember it. Instead of praying to God like I should have, I prayed to the angels and asked them to go tell God that.
Oh, okay. bless you in your innocence, huh? Okay. Okay.
I don't know, thinking about the question, I can't really recall that I thought a lot about God when growing up. I never doubted that he existed or anything. I knew he was there and we prayed to him and stuff. I heard already that children base their view of God on how they view their earthly father. And I think that is a lot how I viewed him is, I think I know I still had a fear of him that he would punish me if I did something wrong. Just same as my father disciplined me, and I always knew I would have to, you know, someday experience the new birth. But I didn't have a lot of fear of him until I actually, I was a little bit older, I experienced more the fear of punishment. But I think as a child, I mostly thought of him as a loving God.
Okay, good. A big and mighty God. Chris, did you learn anything negative? I'm sure you have things to say about your whole life too, but that's all right.
Yeah, I guess my memories of God as an older child are a little bit vague, but probably my first memories are God as kind of a powerful and distant God. And I remember early on having some fear of God, and I remember working through that with some time. I remember having thoughts of God is all powerful. What if he allows some disaster to happen? Or what if he, a little bit of fear maybe of that of God as a God holding a big stake, if you will. But I do remember also working through some of that and receiving at least some level of assurance of God as a loving God. And I don't remember when, but it took some time to actually view God as personally involved and caring.
Jason?
Kind of the same. I don't remember exactly the time or anything like that, but I think I would view God as a, not a harsh God, more of a kind God. A lot of what I picked up was through Bible stories, the pictures that were in the Bible story books back when I was still quite young. What pleases God was, I just remember the one picture was somebody bringing a glass of water to somebody. And then I just remember one incident when I was supposed to be washing dishes, and that was I would have said the last thing boys should have been doing, but you know, I was nothing but a house full of boys, so I didn't really have a choice. But and then Mom just said, I just remember her telling me that I'm not giving a glass of water to somebody, I'm washing the glasses for somebody. So that was just something that stood out to me. But I would have viewed him probably as a kind, loving, and I would have had some, you know, fear of him as well, you know, he was a kind, loving father. He would discipline sin as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Mark?
I would say I think my first thoughts that came to my mind was I would probably view him as a loving God until a little bit more reality sunk in that he knows everything. And he can control. He knows what's going on, so it probably combined with knowing that God is very loving and then understanding that he knows what's going on, tying into maybe a little bit of fear. And I do remember yet, I wondered why we couldn't, like God's a loving God, he would lead his sheep as a flock. And I could still wonder why we couldn't lead, why we always had to chase our sheep around, instead of being able to lead them as God did, his children.
Okay. Joshua?
My view of God probably must live centered on fear. It's like trying to relate with God seemed evasive. God just kind of.
God seemed what?
Evasive?
Yeah.
Couldn't just really get a hold of it. I tried hard, but it seemed like it just brought up fear. So.
You tried hard to please Him. But your God was a hard, hard to please God, huh?
For a while.
I see.
It was no bad.
Well, don't feel too bad, any of you that have, you know, you mentioned it took time, and I think that really laps over the next one too. But in thinking about my life, I went through so many personal struggles and. Emotional struggles and things later on in life. We have to wonder sometimes, you know, by the grace of God, He brought me through many trials or tests, you might say. Sometimes you have to wonder why it took so long for me to really, why I had to have milk for so long. Why couldn't I have more heavy a diet, you know? But maybe that's, I don't know. A self-concept that I have. But anyway, God's grace is sufficient. He is good. How about you, Derek?
I've been trying to remember. I don't have a great memory of my childhood. But when I was pretty young, my brother died. And I always felt confident when I was young that he was in heaven with God. So I knew that God cares for us and loves us. But I also, if I did something that I knew I wasn't supposed to, I felt guilty and felt afraid. But if I confess it to my parents or somebody, then I was at peace with it. Mm-hmm.
I remember incidents anyway where I had to confess, and I confessed to parents, which is entirely right and proper. That's the way to do it. But just the confessing part took care of fear, and that's just a good point to make. At a very young age, I was so, I know, got into things which you know was wrong. Maybe you could say not a serious or big sins, if there are any sins that are big. I don't know if God considers any sin big and any sin little, but, and that's, I clearly remember, I mentioned my mom, and I clearly remember, and I went to public school for 3 years, first, second, and third, got into things, and that was poorly conducted. It was poor oversight there, and it was an all-Amish school, but it was a public school, 6 rooms at that school. So many things happened that was negative and harmful, and time and again, I sat at Mom's side, and she helped me through these things. That was like, give it a little time, you know. I went and brought the things to her. She was able to, just that guidance, and that's in first years in school, and helping me to rest. And so I guess that's part of confession, just sharing with somebody. If there's a medal for mothers, my mom would have one. Okay, anybody else? Micah, what do you have?
Well, I thought of God and all-knowing God, they still seem kind of far away.
Okay, and Isaiah?
Just thinking about this, it was a little bit hard for me to remember. But I remember God as a holy and just God, but also as a loving God. He had a strong interest in my life. I will admit, sometimes it felt like he had a stronger interest in what I did and what I didn't do.
Okay.
But I also remember one time visiting out of state, I was introduced to the fact that everybody looked at the same moon. We can see the moon. And I remember thinking about that as God, too. You can see from one place to the next. Everybody can still,
what
he's with
him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in my opinion, we basically answered number two. Why don't we just go to number three and four? And could we go to three and four and take that together? And I'm going to ask you these questions. Who are the significant people along the way who helped or hindered you in pursuit of God, if you want to answer that honestly? You may, and that's your thing. Who are the significant people along the way who helped or hindered you in pursuit of God? And number four, let's just take it with it. What events in your life have been significant in shaping you? Can we have a few answers? And I'm thinking we could probably have most of you answer that. Starting over here, let's say, Kimberly, what are you thinking? Significant people or significant events? Okay. And when I say significant events, maybe there weren't such significant events. However, somebody mentioned a death in the family, and that seems to me a significant event. But anyway, just whatever comes to your mind, whatever you have, what do you have, Sharon, for like three and four?
I also didn't write anything down, but I would say significant people. Well, first of all, probably my parents. And I also remember certain ministers that I really enjoyed their preaching and stuff. And I don't know about significant events. Well, when I made a commitment to the Lord, that was obviously a significant event. But leading up to that, I don't know.
And that's okay. I mean, in fact, I put a little question mark behind that question. So, yeah, just in brief, whatever you want to share, that's good. What do you have, Hannah?
As far as people who have helped, I would say my parents as well. And I remember as growing up, I almost always knew that I would have somebody older, a girl that I would really admire. That helped. I always remember a couple of my school teachers that as far as events, I don't really remember. I guess I've had an event before. I don't. Yeah.
Okay.
I couldn't really think of any events that had any significant. Other than, as Sherry said, about making a commitment to God.
Right. Well, I mentioned an event in my life, and those 3 years, especially the 2 years, the second grade and third grade, in that school I went to, had a significant effect on my life. If I want to talk about an event, not an event exactly, but it was the negative part of it that brought me to, well, it shaped, helped shape me. Maybe it unshaped me, but it brought me to something, and I had to do something about it. That's just an event that some of those things cling to your mind a negative way, but maybe that's to show you that the grace of God is that much bigger. So maybe I could call that a significant event, the negative things in my life. Not that I had a whole lot of negative things, but that's one of those things that didn't help me in that public school. Okay, what do you say?
I would say the significant people that helped me along the way is my parents were number one, and then the blessing of having a church family and youth group that have the desire to do God's work has been a great blessing to me and has helped me grow in my spiritual walk with God. To continue to grow in Him and has been an encouragement to me.
Yes. Here's what another person said. I'll share this. No specific events, it seems like, and some of you have a hard time even thinking of specific events. I think peer pressure played a part, I'm sure, and the need to succeed is somehow. And here's another one, the significant hindrances. No, I'm going to skip that for now. It's like further down the line. There is a question about hindrances here. Okay, next, let's have more answers here for 3, 4. Philip?
People helping with parents and ministers and doing more. And people hinder me, well, I don't hold anything against them, but they'll probably, some of the boys I was around, I didn't help them with anything, but you know, that didn't help them. And then, four was event, I don't know, four or five maybe, when I got brought down. And still remember running along the cornfield with one of my brothers out to the road to look at the fire trucks coming. And I remember pleading out to God to help or send the fire truck. I don't know how long later, but they did come, but it seemed like a long time ago.
Samuel?
I have for us the significant people. I was thinking my parents, but especially my mom. She seemed to be always there for me when I had. And for significant events, I think it was probably one of them would be when I went to South America, realizing you don't need much to be able to serve God.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say for me, with my view of God as erring on the holy side, not as loving, I would say the people that helped me most were the people that showed me God's love. And just because that was the side of God that I didn't feel or believe. So there were a few people. I had a teacher that did show me God's love, and I also, there was a counselor that helped me a lot in that. So that's a few.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it something how love needs to be shown without knowing God as a God of love? Let a person show it. There are people, especially when you see or think of disadvantaged people out there, no clue what it really is or how it looks like, how love God looks like. And sometimes you first get that good glimpse of God's love when someone just comes and loves you in spite of you, in spite of what you did or who you are. That's something how that works. I don't think I'll worry about getting them all because they're all kind of hinged together. We're just kind of going down the line. And I might just include the five because if there are things and if there are people and if there are events, there are also books that have helped or hindered. And go ahead and if there is something like that, go ahead and take that right with the question. Lawrence, what do you have? 3, 4, 5. It's kind of hinges. They hook together, kind of like this. What things or books or people helped to shape you or brought you in pursuit of God?
For myself, on number 3, I don't really have any significant people other than my parents. There was a minister there too that I really enjoyed listening to. They heard a lot. He always had stories or something that he brought it down to our level more than us as younger people.
then the events, I don't really have, I think Philip mentioned that grudge fire, that was, it brought out God's way of providing for us even after we lost buggies and everything, and a lot of things in there that we use daily. So it was, but God provided in the, column. He provides for us amongst our trials. I would say that was part of them strengthening my faith as well. And also just now with a closer community of what that has helped me significantly as well, having other people to share with. And then on 4 or 5, how have books or authors helped? One thing it's done for me is I've read some of Pablo's books, like the Long Road Home, some of those, some of the trials they face is he will provide it, and other like missionary stories and how God has provided for them in the most impossible ways,
mm-hmm.
or it seems impossible, I guess.
Well, having grown up with, I thank you for sharing, all of you, and I'm just thinking a fire in a young child's mind, it's uncontrolled, does have quite an impact. But here's a couple answers. One of them was a brother helped a lot. Well, that's understandable. Most of you mentioned somebody or someone, and parents and so forth. And a hindrance was a mocking element was in school, especially this one person when I went to school. But what events have, I'll throw this in now for my own. What events in your life have been significant? I worked for Pathway for 13 years, and I'm thinking that really contributed a lot to my social skills and helped me grow spiritually. And that was between like 13 to age 27 or something, or 4, not sure. And so time went on, and as far as books, I can't help but mention this. In a time like this, books can be such an aid, such a wonderful aid to your Christian life, and such a detriment if they're the wrong ones. Just think of that, because at a younger age, well, especially when we went to this, at the time when I went to public school, and so some answers here, word for word. A godly mom was complimented by a sincere dad, and he showed his concern in a different way, but in relating to others in conversations, I'm sure he contributed to my overall view of life and of the church. And this is a negative thing my mom had. I mentioned her, a godly mom. They're both dead and gone. But I remember her being a godly mom. But she had a very, very low self-worth. She grew up and she admitted it freely then to us. That helped our relationship immensely. But she has such a low opinion of herself. And that's probably due to some childhood experiences. But she was just Ida. And so it was a totally wrong or unhealthy concept of her own self. And needless to say, that carried over into her family. So a negative thing there that happened. Now, a little more on books. Being a reader, that helped me tremendously. Books just helped me tremendously in my pursuit of God. And the wrong books hindered. And for both of us, my wife and I, books that hindered us then were like Christian romance books. And I didn't read so many of those as I did mystery books, fairly harmless mystery books, according to maybe some people, depending who you ask, but no good or worthless or harmful, I'd say. Like Nancy Drew books and Hardy Boys and Bobbsey Twins. And I think those books have been replaced in later, those were from way back. I'm not sure even if they're in print no more, but there are other books that have taken their place just as bad, I'm thinking. So I'm here to say, be careful, you're wise if you choose your reading material. Be thankful if your parents choose it wisely. When I see that bookshelf in your home, I can almost tell you what kind of a character is in that home, what kind of an atmosphere, what chances you'll have. Shall we go on down the line, have a few more comments? Because when we're done here, we'll probably quit and go on to the next chapter this afternoon. So we're still there in the middle. And you already kind of answered 7. So can you go on down the line and get the highlights of the rest of that chapter? Whatever you want to say, that's maybe I can still hear most of you before lunchtime. How about, where were we at over here? Leonard? Okay.
It's just basically the rest of the question.
Basically what you think is pertinent and good for us. Because it says then the hindrances, well, if we're here discussing, we can, some of you have mentioned hindrances, and because I'm not going to close the chapter at lunchtime. So what am I going to say here? Finding yourself drawn to God. Like I say, it seems like some of you have already answered those questions. Whatever you can share in these 15 minutes from the rest of those numbers, go ahead and try to share it.
Yeah, as far as the rest of it, my parents were definitely a big help in helping me. And I still, this is going to be actually also ties into God, and that was one of my teachers got killed in a buggy accident. And I still remember that quite well. That was probably in my teens or so.
Definitely.
And I still remember, I couldn't understand why would somebody like that, because I would have said he was a devout Christian. Mm-hmm. And you might have all known him. He was Marion Miller from Maine.
That's right, okay.
And shortly after that, there was a boy that I knew, who was quite a bit older than I was, that he was totally unsaved, and he got killed in a crotch rocket accident. And that really, really gave an impression. Mm-hmm. It was definitely death, but it was through that there was a lot of questions that went through my head. You know, it was both sides of. I knew the one that got killed in the crowd truck. I knew he wasn't. From what I knew, he lived a very very wild life.
So. I see. You say a tractor accident? I didn't quite hear.
A crotch rock. It was like a motorcycle accident.
Oh.
He was out having fun with some of his friends the last time.
I see. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was definitely, that was a big thing that shaped my life. Mm-hmm. And through that, there was guilt and, just simply an emptiness there. That's when I discovered there's an emptiness in my heart.
Mm-hmm. So. One of these questions I had, these answers, good sound books help, but it helped me think outside the box, and in this person's experience, it also showed the inconsistencies of the church, and she didn't want to be part of it. That's an answer I got, too. That was just being honest. Anybody else? Hey, Jalen, go ahead.
I would say my parents had a significant part of shaping my life. The love my dad showed to me. When I was just a little boy, I remember him telling stories to me at my bedside. And another significant person, before I committed my life to Christ, I always thought I was too young or some other excuse. Till I discovered one of my friends had given his life to God, and he seemed to be at peace, and I knew I wanted that, and soon after, I gave my life to God. And books have been very significant in shaping my life. I mean, I've read books that have been a hindrance too, but they're, like you said, they bring outside of the box and you get a view of another person's life. So I would definitely say that books have been a significant part in shaping my life. And another thing that, as far as events, this wouldn't really be an event, but another thing that's been significant in shaping my life is working with unbelievers and people that maybe profess to be a Christian but don't act or don't live Jesus' teaching. If they ask questions and you don't have an answer for it, then you need to study. It gets you to study and find answers. As far as hindrances, I would say probably one of the main hindrances just simply being content with where I'm at, not yearning for more, and a better walk with God. That's all I have.
Okay. Darian?
So as far as, I guess, dad and mom, parents, it would have helped, although I never had really personal talks with them, so not really deeper than a few other people more recently that I really appreciated their concern and what they helped me go open up to them, it really helped me a lot. Significant events was a few years ago, me and my brother were in a fairly major accident, but it was amazing how we weren't hurt at all, but it was fairly significant, I thought. Kingdom discipleship meeting really helped me a lot. Otherwise, this past year, both grandpas passed away. As far as books, I never read a whole lot, but as far as study books, it helps me to see something I never saw before, so to understand more. As far as hindrance, probably the biggest hindrance for me was to be too busy to take time for the gospel.
For God.
More Christian teaching and living.
Okay. Okay. A few over here. Rhoda, do you have something for us?
Some significant people that my mom was always one that I would call her a prayer warrior. I knew that no matter what would come, she would pray about it, and she knew that she knew what she believed, and I knew that's what I wanted. And some significant events, definitely the first one that came to my mind was my brother's accident. That was one that it felt like you didn't know what know, which way life was going to go, if it would be death, or if it was going to, if God was going to grant him life, or how it was going to end up. And he said, well, you couldn't do anything but simply trust. There were times that you thought about it too much, it literally, it almost drove you insane. I mean, you couldn't, there was just nothing you could do about it, but simply just commit to God and trust that he'll, whatever the outcome will be, it'll be okay, because this is what God, yeah, because he let it happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely, it did something, like it just literally, yeah, just, you know, completely trusting and knowing that he'll, whatever the outcome will be, it'll be okay. And know that some of the books, a lot of the books that I read were, when on the day, were always ones that they highly, they're very, did not allow us to read books that were like, anything close to like fantasy or fiction or, you know, true to life stories. And that, those are the books that I, they did have a big impact on my life, because I knew it really happened, and there were people that I wanted to be like.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yep. Barbara, you have something for us?
Biggest hindrance for me in pursuing God is my own stubborn independence.
I think someone wrote that. I had this on here. My own stubborn will. So.
I like to manage my own life too. And there are people that have made it hard for me as well, but I also think as adults we can use those situations for stepping stones to God. And the people who have helped me along in life were many and varied. They changed over the course of time and events, and lots of people have helped me. And I love reading, so I think reading books lets us look at life and situations through the eyes of others and broadens our perspective. And so, in a lot of little ways, just, you know, direct our course in life. And teaching school wasn't a very dramatic event, but that was something that really helped me grow,
mm-hmm.
juggling all the relationships and responsibilities, and had a really a way of bringing out who I actually was, and giving me, you know, lots of opportunities to grow. And I read the question number 9, what has been the most convincing evidence to me for God's existence? The first thing that came to my mind was, when I see God most clearly is when I see him work in people's lives.
Okay.
Because we know we can't do anything to change ourselves, and when I see big changes in people's lives, you know, it's just
mm-hmm.
God at work.
Mm-hmm.
That's encouraging.
That is a good one. Did you hear that? So what has been the most convincing evidence to you for God's existence? When she sees how God worked or works in somebody's life, their life changes. What else can accomplish that change? You know, that's what it's all about. He wants to do that. Time's up. I'd love to hear some more from you. It's lunchtime.